Hello, and welcome to Grant Writing for Creative Souls. I hope that this audio file will inspire and enliven the creative spirit that you bring to your work. My name is Lauren Brownstein. I am a fundraising consultant, an experienced grant writer, and an artist at heart. No, I don't create art for a living, but my creative pursuits are integral to my life. I paint, I draw, I take photographs, I crochet, I collage. Creativity has always been one of the elements of my life that makes me feel good and that brings me a spark of excitement. I think that the way I've blended my detail-oriented, exacting, investigative side and my imaginative, creative side is what's made me a successful grant writer. Over the course of our time together, we'll explore that idea, the idea that grant writing is, in fact, a creative and artistic experience, and bringing that side of ourselves to our work does not make the grant writing more flaky or less serious, but rather invigorates it and enriches it. In the end, by bringing together these elements of our personalities and our grant writing work, we can create grant proposals that stand out from the pack, which is, after all, the ultimate goal. In addition to sharing some of my own ideas about creativity and grant writing, I'll also talk you through a few writing exercises that will shake up your use of language and help you look at your work through a new lens or from a new angle. I'll also share some tips and resources for bringing creativity into your work life. Okay, let's get started. To wake up that creative side of your brain, I'd like to start with a brief creative writing exercise. So you should have pen and paper or computer at the ready. You'll need 2 minutes for this exercise. So for the next 2 minutes, turn off your phone, give yourself the gift of letting go of your distractions, and just focus on the exercise. Ready? Here we go. For the next 2 minutes, write about your name. You can write anything you want, just keep writing. I'll start playing some background music, and when the music has stopped, you'll know that 2 minutes have passed. Ready? Go. The first time I did this creative writing exercise, writing about my name, I was really surprised with what came up. 2 minutes definitely was not enough. I'm guessing that if you did this exercise 6 months from now, you'd come up with something totally new then, too. Now that you're hopefully in a more creative headspace, I'd like to share some of my own ideas about grant writing.
A few years ago, I was buying a new computer, and I decided to get a Mac. I told a friend about this computer, and she said, "But don't people buy those computers when they're doing creative work? Your work isn't creative." And I had a strong gut reaction to what she said. While I never really articulated it, I always thought of grant writing as creative work. Even though I describe myself as a technical writer, I use that term because I do think there's a specific approach to grant writing, a way of creating proposals and a tone to the work that's different from, say, writing a brochure or website text or an annual report. That said, there is something very creative about writing grant proposals. A grant proposal should make a project sing, should make an organization's work leap off the page, even within very strict requirements for space, word count, questions to be answered, and things like that. A fantastic grant proposal paints a picture for the prospective donor, helps them see the organization's work in their mind's eye. I would argue that it takes enormous creativity, vision, and innovation to paint a picture for a donor when you have a very limited canvas on which to paint. In other words, when you have strict limits for space or page numbers or word count, for me, that's always the biggest challenge, not writing a longer proposal, but writing a shorter proposal and really making it pop. We always have to keep in mind as grant writers that this proposal has to stand out. In most cases, the person who is reviewing the proposal, like a foundation grant officer or a trustee, is reviewing dozens of other grant proposals for projects that are just as worthy as ours. So the language that we use has to stand out. The way we tell a story, not just about the organization, but about a particular client or situation, has to stand out. The way in which we describe the impacts or the outcomes of the proposed work also has to stand out. The way we express the need or the why of the project has to be compelling, has to convey a sense of urgency without a sense of desperation. Anyone can just write the who, what, where, when, and why. It takes a truly creative soul to make it sing, to have the reader remember what we wrote, why it matters, and to say, "We have to fund that." I find that sometimes my proposal writing gets a bit stale. I might write a phrase in one proposal that seems really powerful, and then I find myself using that phrase over and over again in other proposals. The tone in different proposals can sometimes feel very similar, no matter what project I'm working on. That's when I know I need to shake it up. Here's another writing exercise to help you do that, to help you dig deeper to find new language to convey the same ideas. Picture someone you know. It can be someone you know well, a family member, or a friend. Or it can be someone you see on a pretty regular basis, the barista at the coffee shop, the woman who rings you up at the grocery store, the mailman, the crossing guard at a nearby school. It could be someone who is in your life now, or someone from your past, maybe someone you went to school with years ago. Just choose one person and picture them. Now, spend the next 2 minutes writing 20 words to physically describe that person. Not sentences, just 20 words. I will play music for 2 minutes, and when the music stops, you'll know that 2 minutes are up. Ready? Go. Thank you.
This is an exercise that you can repeat over and over again. If you get that sneaking suspicion that your writing is getting a little stale or that you're starting to use the same language over and over again, I hope you found it helpful. As I mentioned a little while ago, I find that the biggest challenge is not writing longer, but writing shorter. Choosing my words very carefully and judiciously so I can have the maximum impact with minimum words. I also find that choosing the fanciest words is generally not the most impactful way to go. Just as short sentences have strong impact, simple language can be powerful. To help you focus on choosing the best, most expressive words, making the most powerful choices with the infinite language choices at your disposal, I have another creative writing exercise to share with you. For this next exercise, I have to give credit to an article I saw in Nonprofit Quarterly by Christopher Finney called Mission Haiku, The Poetry of Mission Statements. The idea of this article was to encourage people to boil down their organization's mission statement to a haiku, a three-line, 17-syllable poem. For those who don't remember your fifth-grade English lesson on haiku, here's the drill. Haiku is a three-line poem, typically with five syllables in the first line, seven syllables in the second line, and five syllables in the third line. An example of an English language haiku, written by American author Richard Wright, is Whitecaps on the Bay, a broken signboard banging in the April wind. What Mr. Wright has done here is incredible. With such an economy of words, he's done more than paint a picture. He's painted an experience. You can imagine how it feels, what it sounds like, what the mood is by the water. Now, I invite you to work on a haiku. For this exercise, write a haiku about your job. Write it in three lines, five syllables for the first line, seven syllables for the second line, five syllables for the third line. Think about all the different angles of your job, not just what you do on a day-to-day basis, although that certainly could be a part of it. Think about how you feel when you are doing your job, what impact your job has on other people, what you accomplish when you work, what you would like to accomplish when you work, and how you interact with other people. I'm going to give you 5 minutes to work on this. You might not create a finished product in 5 minutes, but you'll get the gist of the exercise, challenging yourself to have maximum impact in minimum words. Once again, I'll play some music in the background, and when the music is over, your time is up. Ready? Begin writing. I've mentioned storytelling several times already, and I think it's one of the best tools at your disposal to make a grant proposal stand out. We know from tons of fundraising research and literature that fundraising appeals that tell a story are the ones that stand out. These messages are stickier, to borrow a phrase from Chip and Dan Heath in their book, Made to Stick: Why Some Ideas Survive and Others Die. People remember a story about an individual more than they remember a barrage of statistics about a whole population or problem. Let me give you a couple of examples. At the Association of Fundraising Professionals, Washington, D.C., 2009 Bridge Conference, there was a presentation called Now More Than Ever, Making Your Messages Count. It was presented by Sarah Birdie of Inova Health System, Bruce Wenger of IDC, and Jessica Harrington of Schultz & Williams. The presenters recalled two fundraising letters that were sent out under Bette Midler's signature on behalf of the New York Restoration Project. The first letter said, "Because you love New York City as much as I do, I know you will want to join me in making our city cleaner, greener, and more beautiful." It's a good opening line, right? I like the alliteration, and I like how she said, "join me." But the organization sent out another letter that said, "I want to talk to you about our city," which was followed by personal recollections of how dirty the city was and how little green space there was in the 1970s and 1980s. The second letter, where Ms. Midler and the organization told a story, yielded a 30% increase in fundraising income. You heard it here first, folks. Telling stories works. So how does this relate to our work as creative, impassioned grant writers? Start collecting stories. I encourage my clients to create story banks, stories that they can have at the ready of people who've been helped or whose lives have been enhanced by your work. Of course, you'll have to change the names and some details to protect the privacy of your clients, but I promise you that it can be done. What if your client isn't a person, such as a homeless person or a person who is trying to learn to read, but is a thing, like economic development in the downtown core or the environment? You still can tell stories. Talk about one small business owner in the downtown core and how your work will help her business grow. Talk about the retired couple that lives near the power plant and how your work is literally helping them to breathe easier because of your efforts to clean up air pollution. Include some brief quotes from individuals if you can. I promise you that telling these stories and uncovering these stories, which may involve interviewing people at your organization, will make your work more creative, more enlivened, and more fun. Now, on the subject of fun, it's always been important to me to have a fun, inspiring work environment. Now, I'm lucky to work from home, so I can make my home office as fun as I want it to be. I have colorful artwork all around me. I have a quote board of inspiring quotes. I burn scented candles. Sometimes it does feel pretty girly and goofy in here, but that relaxes me, and I think it makes me a better writer. Before I worked from home, back in the days before I was self-employed, I worked in lots of different offices. And no matter where I worked, I always had the office that people wanted to hang out in. At one place, I even worked in a closet. No kidding, a closet. We had to move our offices all over the building one time because they were doing asbestos removal floor by floor. In one of those moves, they sat me in a big room with two other people, which did not work. I can't write grant proposals while other people are talking on the phone 5 feet away from me. So I told them that the next time we moved offices, I had to have my own space, no matter how small. They thought they had the last laugh when they put me in a former closet. But I turned that closet into the most envied space in our 10-floor building. I brought in a rug. I hung art posters. I turned off the deadly fluorescent overhead lights and brought in lamps.
including a small desk lamp with a red shade, which cast a gentle pink light. People loved visiting me in that closet. For me, a creative work environment means tweaking my surroundings. And sometimes that also means not working in the office. It means working in a cafe, working at a park, working at the beach. My creative juices get flowing when I'm able to shake it up. Yes, I know that most people don't have that kind of flexibility. Lots of folks work in cubicles, as I did for a while. You can still find ways to get creative in your work environment. For you, a creative work environment might mean playing the music you like, with headphones if you're working side by side with others. It might mean sipping a different kind of tea every day. It might mean changing up the wallpaper on your computer screen, or experimenting with different kinds of funky notebooks and pens, or rearranging your office furniture. Just shaking things up to try to give yourself a different perspective. When it comes to your writing process, you also can shake it up. Often, just getting started with a new proposal, just writing that first paragraph, can be the most challenging part. So don't start at the beginning. Start in the middle, or start with a story about a client, or start by sifting through different client quotes that you can use, or start with creating graphs or selecting photographs to use in an appendix to a proposal. It's not wasting time if you ultimately are going to write a more impactful, effective, and memorable proposal. I hope that this audio file has inspired you to do just that, to write more impactful, effective, and memorable proposals by awakening and enlivening your creative spirit. I welcome your feedback and invite you to reach out to me via Twitter at LJ Brownstein or via email at lauren@pitchconsulting.com. You also can find out more about me by going to my website, www.pitchconsulting.com. I wish you the best of luck in your creative and professional pursuits, and happy writing.